Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. This week, we are taking a look at another time travel stories, Pastaways, from Matt Kent, art by Scott Collins, published by Dark Horse Publishing, Dark Horse Comics, Dark Horse Entertainment, Dark Horse Comics, I think is what we'll call them today. Issue number one.
Yes. And what a weird place.
Here's the problem, okay. Right? So you were told basically on the inside or the front cover who all these people are.
Right.
Bipolar weapons specialist, thinks the leader is a jerk. Team leader believes math and science have an answer for everything. Also believes everyone loves him. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
When you read the inside front cover, it tells you an unknown error sends these people back in the past further than what they thought. They crash land in the 21st century, and now 1 year has passed.
Okay.
Which, to me,
this is all before issue one even gets started.
Yeah, before issue one get started, all these things have happened.
That is like six issues worth of stuff.
Yes.
Has happened in the cover.
Yes. The inside front cover. You have to read that part. Not everybody reads the credit section. The thing is, and I don't know the mindset of this, but Dark Horse Presents Volume 3, Number 6 mm-hmm. has the prologue of this story, where it actually shows them crashing into Earth, getting out of their ship, realizing that, oh my gosh, we've gone farther back in time than we thought. We're in the 21st century. Here's this thing called a Jeep. And it's a really short, like four or five page. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. It's okay. It's about six pages. Six pages of prologue, which they could have easily doubled up some extra pages on this and put it in this first issue, because not everyone's going to track down Dark Horse Presents Volume 3, Number 6,
right,
and spend $5 just to get
I think the expectation is that if you bought this, you will buy that and or vice versa.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand the theory is, you know, Dark Horse Presents is a great way to, it's an anthology series that gets people's kind of introduced to upcoming series or projects or potential projects that could happen. Mm-hmm. But because it's an anthology series, you're not always going to pick up the issues and read them. And this one was one shot. You know, it's just six pages, and then it says to be continued, Pastaways number one. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. We get to see what happens next. We got to see how they're dealing with primitive technology. And then we're bounced a year into the future, and they didn't pull all that stuff off their ship like they thought they did. Now, maybe they went back and scavenged for parts. But to have all of the advanced technology that is being shown off in this piece, unless they built it themselves, which right. is a possibility. I mean, they're all scientists. Some of the 1 year later stuff seems a little bit improbable.
And it all seems, God, what is the word that I'm looking for? Very cynical and kind of angry and flippant. And I mean, the first thing that we see in this issue for story purposes is a man being dissolved by
something from the future.
Yeah. by being peed on by this space flame dragon.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we cut into the whole thing. And again, the front cover summaries are very helpful because I know that, you know, the team leader is Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
And that the rest of these people, we have an idea of who it is. But it also does that thing that I find so frustrating, that it tells us what the character's thing is. For people who don't listen to all of our podcasts, we are playing a game on our Critical Hit podcast where you choose kind of an aspect and a thing and something that defines you. And the cover kind of gives you that. It makes you feel these are these, you know, these five, six characters, and each one of them has their public aspect and then what they're really like. But once we get started, it just feels like everybody is kind of a bastard coated bastard with a candy bastard filling. And, you know, the girl who wants to die spends the whole issue trying to die, which
they can't die. They're invulnerable.
They're from the future.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I just thought it was an odd way to start a story, kind of dropping you into middle of something that you don't know what happened before. And I guess part of the appeal is that, yes, the team getting back together, you don't know what their major malfunction was that caused them to split up like this. Right. Can be part of the appeal of, well, let's find out more about these characters. Let's find out what their problems are. It's clear that they're all dysfunctional when we meet them. How are they going to come together and get themselves back to the future?
Oh, it's your kids, Marty. So they are all ass.
That is the, that's the big appeal, is how are they all going to work together and get back to the future while they're starting to interact and fight against these things that are future technologies that are coming back to the past. That, right. I mean, that's the real appeal of the story. And I think that there is an appeal there, but man, if this is your first introduction to Pastaways, which, you know, say for six pages before, it's that way for me. It's really confusing, I think, for people just stepping in.
It is. It's trippy and it's weird and it's a little off-putting. Visually, it's pretty appealing, especially the point where, you know, their ship is clearly a giant version of a quadcopter.
Yeah.
And all of the character designs are awesome. And of course, when they get into their armor to start taking down the acid urine creature, the Quetzalcoatl from the future, that's some awesome looking stuff. Collins just kicks butt on the art.
Yeah.
But I haven't read a lot of stuff that Matt Kent does, and I don't know if this is like, you know, the Matt Kent version of Warren Ellis making fun of superheroes or Garth Ennis having everybody get drunk.
I don't think that's
lionizing it. Cowboys. I don't know if that's what it is, but this is really, really. The word that I used was trippy.
Yeah. I have, or Brian Dennett has a bunch of the original pages from Kent's first work, Pistol Whip. And I've either got Xerox of those original pieces or something. Brian got it to me like years ago, and it was somebody that he knew. So I don't know if it was through a friend of a friend that he got all this stuff. But yeah, Matt Kent has been around since 2001 with his first graphic novel, Pistol Whip. And then he won was he nominated? Yeah, he was nominated for a Harvey Award on that. But it's like Pistol Whip, Super Spy, then Amazing Adventures of the Escapist.
The Escapist.
Dark Horse Presents, Reset, Mind Management, which is ongoing. He did Sweet Tooth with Jeff Lemire. My Greatest Adventure, Minute War, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, issues 10 through 16, and then a bunch of other stuff here and there. His name pops up quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's one of those names that I keep seeing, but I never really attach to an aesthetic that I can say, this is what a Matt Kent book is like. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you what a Matt Fraction book is like.
Right.
I can tell you what a Brian Bendis book is like.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just Kent being unpredictable or if this is something new and out of their wheelhouse. I feel like not long ago, actually, I read a book called Surface. And Surface is one of those 20 minutes into the future books where we're talking about the nature of today's reality and how everybody's focused on, you know, the social media and how things look and the blah, 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 and your Kim Kardashian, you know, all of the talking points of your average stand-up comedian. And I feel like this may be trying to undermine that, or it may be trying to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we start with, you know, the douche who wants to take his selfie who gets killed.
Right, right, right.
And then we find the people from the future who are on the cover, kick-ass adventurer types.
Yeah.
But when we actually get into the story, they're kind of falling apart at the seams, which it reminds me a little bit of Jeff Loeb's Challengers of the Unknown from 1990.
Kind of a little bit. And that's the thing is, if you don't know that they were, and again, if you don't read that little stuff in there, you don't know that. I guess they were only supposed to go back like 1,000 years or something, but they ended up going back like 1,000,000 years into the past.
Right. The primitive 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000,000.2, which is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
I will say this. It's fascinating that these people, 1,000,000.2 years from now, are just a bunch of dudes. And that their leader is still, you know, the big blonde white guy.
Yeah.
But he looks like Guy Fieri, which makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I'm just like, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, but they've got some diversity on the team.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that was a cheap shot, but it had to be.
Yeah, well, and the fact that they can understand everything that's being said, that they still look like humans and have not evolved into something else.
Right, they pretty much act like humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we first meet the team leader guy, and I don't know anybody's name. I think Marge is the big lady.
Yeah, Marge is the big person.
Right, and then there's Ursula. Guy Fieri, we first
meet
him sitting
at
the point.
Phil, I think, is his name. It's hard to tell. Phil or...
Lou.
Yeah.
Ted.
Arthur. Phil or Arthur. One of those two.
Phil. Arthur. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and, you know, from a story perspective, I mean, there's some lot of interesting stuff in it. I think the biggest hassle, though, is we don't know anything about this. We don't know how they ended up. Where did they get all their money to build these crazy deep sea, undersea silo base thing? Where do they get their money to just go out and buy a mansion in the Los Angeles Hills? Mm-hmm. You just don't go out and you know, pick up a few spare parts and buy a $70 million mansion on a hill.
Maybe they use their future technology to reverse engineer things and, like, patent, I don't know.
Well,
like,
and I mean, that's fine, stuff. But it's I kind of would like, I mean, there's that 1 year gap that we don't know what's going on between the prelude or the prologue and this, and it's confusing to me. I don't know. I mean, if you're into time travel, there's not really time travel here unless it's one of those things where it's travelers trapped in the past and trying to find their way to the future. But it is very much Challengers of the Unknown is the way it felt like, especially whenever I read the Dark Horse Presents piece. I felt, oh, this is kind of like Challengers of the Unknown. Kind of like last week's book felt a little bit challengery or time tunnel-y. This one, I don't know. I like the fact that more people are starting to do time travel stories.
Right.
It seems like at least once a quarter we have a time travel series that kicks off. And I'm fine by that. I like time travel stories.
Yeah.
This one, I'm not. I mean, this one may be something that you need to read 3 or 4 issues before it all starts to click, kind of like a Grant Morrison story where, you know, the first issue makes a lot of sense. And then about issue 3, you're like, what the heck's going on? And by issue 6, you're like, I don't understand. This is so confusing. And then when you hit issue 12,
I can't feel my legs.
Yeah. And then when you hit issue 12, you're like, oh, this all makes perfect sense. Now, this is a brilliant way to tell a story. But as a standalone issue, I don't think it's I think that it's going to be confusing to a lot of people. But if you're a Matt Kent fan, if you're a Scott Collins fan for the art, and the art is very good, I say pick it up. But that's only if those two qualifiers exist. Otherwise, I would say wait a month or two. Wait until it drops in price over at the Dark Horse digital reader, digital store, and buy it that way. But I would not, I just can't say pay full price on this.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, visually it's fascinating. And the breakdown of the whole thing, if you're weird, definitely check this book out is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, take this into account that I am super, super weird. But
did you like it or not like it?
I didn't not like it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
You know, it's one of those things where I can see the charm to it when you go to a party and you meet the girl who's really pretty, but she's like super into CrossFit and she wants to tell you about her kickboxing class. And you're like, boy, I don't know if I can stand all this kickboxing talk, but you are super pretty. You know, my brain just can't defend it. And then you end up, you know, buying her a beer and talking to her. I haven't been on a date since 1994. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I guess from, you know, from a perspective of some people might listen to this and go, man, you guys are really putting down this book. We're not. I mean, we're just giving you our honest opinions. And I know some people may not agree with our opinions, and that's fine. But these are our honest opinions of this work. And we're not trying to put down anybody. We're just sharing what we think. So do kind of keep that in mind.
It's not a negative impression. It's a book that is unique and strange, and I think intentionally a little bit off-putting.
And I think by the time you hit issue 3, I think it's going to click a lot more. Yeah.
I will say this. Scott's work looks really good here. The last thing I remember seeing him on regularly was Legion of Superheroes a couple years from DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like the work he was doing on Legion. I found it to be really weird and scratchy, and I don't know if that was the inker. It may have been the inker. In fact, I think the inker may have been Keith Giffen, which may explain it. But this looks really good. This looks weird and futuristic and kind of bizarre. And his use of line in this, and the colorist use of especially reds.
Yeah, Bill Crabtree is the colorist in this.
This is a pretty book. This is a really pretty book.
Yeah, I just it doesn't say anywhere on the Dark Horse website whether this is an ongoing or whether this is a 6-issue run. It doesn't say anything like that. I have a feeling that this is going to be 6 issues or maybe 12, but it's not going to be much more than that.
Yeah, I'd say a 5 or a 6. And if it is a 6, I'm definitely interested. I think as a 6, it might be just an excellent, nice closed arc to give us, you know, some idea and some closure. And that might also give us an explanation of if they wanted to do a prequel or if they wanted to throw things in between.
Yeah.
You've got that year of time that we really don't see. We don't see the team break up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got other stories that they can visit. Sure. Yeah, yep. That's the good thing. And they've got a whole bunch of stories that they can tell in that year. You could have, you know, a dozen stories or more of what happened during that year. I guess I'm, you know, I love time travel stories. I guess I'm somewhat saddened because this was not as good as the Mark Miller Chrononauts that we read last week.
Chrononauts was very good.
And you remember how I said that this should be a live action series?
Already?
Universal picked it up. I think it's Universal picked it up to do a movie adaptation of it. Like the day after we recorded.
Because they listen.
Universal announced. I'm sure
Universal
they did.
Universal is probably listening right now.
I'm sure. Hello, Universal. Please don't do E.T. number 2.
E.T. phone home. E.T. have 3-way call and come back.
All right. So that is Pastaways from Dark Horse Comics. I will definitely check out issue 2. I just want to see where it goes.
I'm the same way. I want to see issue 2. I don't know necessarily that I'm hopping up and down, but I do want to know where this goes. And it again, this is not a negative.
This may be a slow burn comic.
Well, it's not a negative review. It's kind of a, I don't know what to make of it right now. I'm still kind of parsing it out. And for whatever, you know, whatever that's worth, that may be a great thing. A lot of my favorite comics hit me that way.
Yeah. Dark Horse sent us the Dark Horse Presents. So you might want to go and look in your email, see if you still have access to that and read read that prologue. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, April 1st next week, Angel in Faith, season 10, number 13. Oh, well, then I'll make sure that we're recording on that night.
Well, it's not like I'm doing anything on a Wednesday afternoon.
Hey, honey, let's go out to the bowling alley.
Is that what you guys do?
No.
Oh.
But what am I going to do on a Wednesday afternoon? We both work at 8 a.m. Thursday.
Oh, well, there you go. You can, you know, have a little husband-wife time, a little fooling around time. Hellboy and the BPRD number 5, 1952 comes out next week. Lady Killer number 4. Lone Wolf and Cub Omnibus Trade Paperback Volume 8. That's only a 1999 book. Rat God number 3. Robert E. Howard's Savage Sword of Conan number 10. Maybe it's just called Savage Sword number 10. $7.99 there.
Conan Yes.
And then there's something called Witcher Fox Children, number one.
Witcher. Yeah, you know.
The Witcher Fox?
No, it's you know, you're over there and you're with your fox children.
Okay.
And some days you're not with your fox children, you see.
DC Comics next week kicks off Convergence. Convergence Month is here, we've got a bunch of things wrapping up. We've got Arkham Manor in-game number one, Batman Eternal number 52, Batman Superman Annual Convergence number zero. That's a $4.99 book.
Wow.
Deathstroke number three gets a second printing. Earth 2 Worlds in number 26, note price $3.99 there. Flash Season Zero number seven, that's a reprint of the digital comic that you can buy weekly for 99 cents.
Right.
Gotham Academy in-game number one, Harley Quinn number 16, Looney Tunes number 224. I don't think that will tie into Convergence, but it would be awesome if it did.
Wouldn't it?
New 52 Futures in number 48 weekly, Sinestro Annual number one, Superman, Wonder Woman number 17. There's not a whole lot coming out next week. There's maybe a dozen books coming out next week from DC, and I think they're betting it all on Convergence. We'll be covering all of Convergence. I don't know. Yeah. Did I already claim Convergence number zero, or can we do that next week for...
Sure, let's do Convergence number zero. I think it's still open.
Yeah, I know I've got all the Convergence 1, 2, 3, and 4. I didn't know that there was a zero, so we can certainly read that.
Neither did I. So
if you're not familiar, this ultimate version of Brainiac has captured these cities at the moment of their destruction all throughout time in the multiverse and put them under different domes. Something's happened to Brainiac. I guess that's why you had to read the whatever that in-game series or Futures End series was.
Futures End, yeah. Brainiac showed up there and was beaten by a group of heroes led by Superman. And
he dies. Brainiac dies and transfers everything into some kind of a clone or something construct of his.
Right.
And then that thing has all of the memories and ideas and motives, but he has his own ideas, and he brings down all the glass domes, and suddenly all of these different realities, all these different timelines end up basically fighting with one another. Sounds a lot like Battle World and Secret Wars coming out from Marvel Comics next month. So
everything sounds like something.
Everything
it?
Sounds like something else. Yes. IDW Publishing, speaking of something else, has Galaxy Quest Journey Continues number 3, G.I. Joe Real American Hero 212, Jim and the Holograms number 1. Oh, that's the complete 5-cover holographic foil box set.
Yeah, I was going to say, Holograms Jim is number, out this week.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
In fact, I've been desperately attempting to work on a review this.
Max Maximize number 17, Millennium number 3, Shadow Show number 5, Robert Heinlein Citizen of the Galaxy number 2. I didn't read the first one. I might want to go check that out. X-Files Season 10, number 22. I want to wonder if we'll see a boost in sales now that the six-episode series has been announced by Fox.
Oh, I suppose anything's possible.
Bitch Planet, number 2 and 3, both get second printings next week from Image Comics. Black Science, number 13. Dead at 17, Blasphemy Throne, number 7.
It was a blasphemy.
Dying in the Dead, number 2. Egos number 7. Yeah, I wish I didn't. God Hates Astronauts number 7. The Ixth Generation.
I don't need that stuff. I live in Topeka.
The ninth generation. No Mercy
God
number 1.
Hates Astronauts.
Tales from the Con year 2. Tech Jacket number 9. Marvel Comics has Amazing Spider-Man number 17. Also not a big month for a big week for Marvel. They've got about 2 dozen books that are not trade paperbacks. Amazing Spider-Man number 17. No, it's not a fifth week. It's a first week.
I was going to say, it's the first of them.
Avengers Ultron Forever. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of Avengers books coming out. Avengers Millennium number 1. Avengers Rage of Ultron original graphic novel hardcover. That's a $24.99 book. Darth Vader number 1 and 2. George Romero's Empire of the Dead Act 3 number 1 of 5. Guardians of the Galaxy Best Story Ever number 1. Oh, they really, that's the title of the book. They're really better hope that the title doesn't lie.
Why? What's the worst that could happen?
Well, then it's not the best story ever, and the title's lying.
And?
Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, number 11. Kanan, The Last Padawan, number 1. That's from the Star Wars Rebels series.
Nice.
Return of the Living, Deadpool, number 3. Rocket Raccoon, number 10. Spider-Gwen, number 1. Rodriguez, second printing variant. And Spider-Gwen number 3, that's a $3.99 book.
Spider-Gwen, cat.
Then there is the fourth printing of Star Wars number 1. That thing sold a million copies in its initial run. to the direct market. So if it's already in its fourth printing, wow, that's a lot. It'll be interesting to see if like the second and third printings of Star Wars number one have a big impact, place in the top 50 of the March sales. That'd be interesting to check out.
We'll have to watch for that.
Yeah. In all of the rest category, Attack on Titan Before the Fall, original graphic novel number 4, Attack on Titan graphic novel volume 15. Let's see. Cluster number 3, Dead Man Wonderland graphic novel. Disney's Frozen adaptation number 1. Doctor Who the Ninth Doctor number 1.
Let It Go.
Oh, I think that's what we're doing next week, isn't it? Or is that what you're reading? Doctor Who, Ninth Doctor, number 1.
I already reviewed that on the Major Spoilers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Last week. Yep.
Yeah. M-Theory, trade paperback comes out. Mm-hmm. Jungle Book, Fall Wild, number 4.
Jungle Book.
Howitzin, number 2. Book. Hoax Hunters, 2015, number 1. Lady Death, Apocalypse, number 3. Library Wars, Love and War. I don't know what that's about.
It's about wars.
In the library. In the library.
Dope. You do.
Mercy Thompson, number 6. Let's see. Brady Big Con Job. Oh, yeah. Palmiotti and Brady's Big Con Job, number 2, comes out.
Jungle Boogie.
Puppet Master number 1, Rabbids graphic novel, Rick and Morty number 1 comes out. That's based on, what is that, Cartoon Network?
Yeah, it's based on a show called Rick and Morty.
Yes, I know, but I couldn't remember if that was Cartoon Network or who put that out.
Cartoon Network.
Space Riders number 1. I think that's Titan Comics. I think we got a review copy of that today.
Ooh.
Vagabond Viz Big Edition. War Stories number 7. Yeah, people can't hear me just shaking my head going, I don't know what the heck.
What?
Woods number 12, Exo Manowar number 35. And how about we wrap it up with Zombie Fairy Tale Snow White One Shot, $3.99.
I'm sorry, what?
Zombie Fairy Tales Snow White One Shot.
That's like three different kinds of stuff.
No, isn't it? It's a comic book adaptation of a classic fairy tale about Snow White, but she's stuck in a zombie world. The huntsman that takes her out to the woods to cut her heart out really wants her brains.
Dude.
Sends her off to run with...
Does that really happen?
Oh, yeah. Because the Wicked Queen, to prove that Snow White is dead, tells the huntsman that he has to come back with her heart in a box. And the huntsman, of course, takes her out, can't do it, just really loves her father, has a lot of fond memories of Snow White's mother, and says, just run off into the woods. And what he does is he cuts a boar's heart out and presents that to the queen so that the queen thinks that Snow White's dead. And in the Grimm fairy tale book, she pulls the heart out of the box and just eats it raw right in front of everybody. Yeah, it's pretty grim.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I've somehow in my collection of books that have followed me around from one side of this country to the other is a like 1960s version of the complete Grimm fairy tales that my mom had picked up when she was in college or something. Wow. And I found it in the basement when I was like 8 in a pile of books that she had down there. And I was like, well, I'm going to read this. I had like the original Pinocchio about all the bad things that Pinocchio did, not the nice Disney movie one.
Right.
Where Pinocchio steps on Jiminy Cricket, like on page 2, he's like, wow. Shut up. I don't want to listen to you anymore. And stomps
on.
Oh, yeah. It's really crazy. But yeah, this Grimm Fairy Tales book has followed me around. And every once in a while, I'll just pick it up and read about Snow White, Rose Red, all the stuff that made the fable stories work. But there's some demented and disturbed stuff in between those pages. All right. Yeah. So that's coming out. Zombie Fairy Tales Snow White One Shot. $3.99. I don't know who that is by.
I don't know either, but man.
Let's see if we can find out. This is, let's see. Come on. This is from, this is published by Antarctic Press. Oh, yeah. The cover. That's going to start to get into a little territory where somebody's going to be messed up because the dwarves look like the seven dwarves from the Disney movie, but they're all zombies.
I thought maybe the dwarves look like Jigsaw's thing from Saw.
No, that'd be a little bit interesting. So Antarctic Press, Zachary Gray is the person who's writing and doing the art on this. So there you go. Now you know. The more you know, and that's where we're going to end it right here. Ting. On this week's Dueling Reviews. Let's see. How's your 14 days of positivity going, Matthew?
Well, I haven't made it through day one. I've been pretty positive. I mean, I haven't been endlessly whining about my job.
You're not supposed to do it at all.
Well,
you're supposed to be positive.
I'm positive that I'm not whining about my job.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hopefully everyone else is being kind to one another. I haven't seen too much erupt among the people that we talk to, and everybody seems to be pretty civil. So keep it up, and maybe, after 14 days, you're like, hey, why does it just have to be 14 days? It can be all year long. Keep it positive. Keep it nice. Keep it civil. Enjoy reading comics, because we love reading comics, and we know you do, too. And we will talk with you next time.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.